In the garage, a car started. Carl watched through the lilac bush as a late model Volvo backed down the driveway. He couldn't make out the driver's face, a woman, he thought, based on her cautious maneuvering as she backed the car out into the street. Grandma was leaving. Carl wondered if there was a grandpa still inside. He looked in the side window of the garage and, judging from the absence of power tools, concluded there probably was no man of the house. The window at the back side of the house had been left open partway to let in the fresh air this lovely fall morning. Winter was coming, and once it hit, no one would open a window for the next 5 months. Several large, heavy plant pots with dead plants in them had been parked alongside the garage, between the garage and the privacy fence, waiting to be cleaned out and put away for the winter. Carl rolled the largest across the narrow space, tipped it upside down, and used it for a step stool. A little work with the ragman's steak knife, and Carl was able to peel the screen away enough for him to crawl inside. When he was in, he carefully pulled the screen back down and into place. He had expected the house to be littered with grandma stuff, porcelain poodles and old china and fussy furniture with flowered fabric and lace doilies. Instead, the space looked like something from a decorating magazine, with sage-colored walls and dark, modern furnishings. In the kitchen, Carl found the story of Grandma Lives Here. Her refrigerator was covered with photos of her with other people, friends, family, grandchildren, so many smiling, happy faces. According to unopened mail on the counter, Grandma's name was Christine Neal. Christine Neal was in her late 50s, trim and athletic. She ran in marathons, went on vacations to exotic places. In several photographs, she was as bald as Carl was. A banner at one of her races called for support for a local breast cancer survivors group. Carl pulled the refrigerator open and helped himself to an orange. It was cold and juicy and refreshing. When he had finished and thrown the peel in the trash, he wiped the handle of the refrigerator with a towel and went in search of a bathroom. There was only one downstairs, adjacent to what must be Christine Neal's bedroom. White and immaculate, it smelled of lavender. In the medicine cabinet, he found mint-flavored dental floss, tore a string off for himself, and set to cleaning all the bits out from between his teeth. The orange he had just eaten, the piece of pork chop he had found in the garbage earlier. He took the toothbrush from the holder, helped himself to toothpaste, and brushed his teeth with vigor. He pulled his bridge out of his mouth, brushed it, and replaced it. Carl undressed and threw the ragman's filthy clothes down the laundry chute, happy to be rid of them. Carefully, he removed the money taped to his scrotum. Naked, he sat down on the toilet and settled in to have his first bowel movement as a free man. What a pleasant, quiet, private experience. He picked up a copy of People and leafed through it. He took very little interest in the entertainment world. He rarely looked at television, only knew about movies from the posters at the theaters. He didn't recognize many stars. The girls all looked young and too skinny, and they dressed like whores. They shouldn't be surprised to be raped and killed going around like that. The men were unremarkable. Half of them looked like they had dressed at the Goodwill and didn't have sense enough to tuck in their shirts. Most of them needed a haircut and a shave. So did he reminded himself.